नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय We're reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, and it's Canto 5, Chapter 19, and text number 15. So it's a very short purport, but we'll try to elaborate a little bit to evince some meaningful Krishna conscious instructions for all of us. So, I think we'll start right away. Hare Krishna. Text 14. Did I say 15? Sorry, I've got 14 right here, and I said 15. Okay, we'll do the text. It's a little tricky, but we'll go through. Yitai kamus mika kamalam pata. Yitai kamus mika kamalam pata. Sute shudare shudane shuchintayan. Sute shudare shudane shuchintayan. Yastasya yatna shrama eva kevalam. Yes. Did I say there was something wrong? Yes, yes, tasya yatna shama eva kevalam. Yattai kamusmika kamalam pata. Sute shudhare shudane shuchintaya. Sanketa vidvan kula kula levaratyayat. Anybody responsibly? Yatai sa musika kampalam pata. Ladies, nobody wants to have a shot. Okay, so we'll go straight to the word for word. Yata, as. Ahaika, in the present life. Hamushmika in the expected future life. Kamalampata, a person who is very attached to lusty desires. For bodily enjoyment. Suteshu, children. Dareshu, wife. Daneshu, wealth. Chintayan, thinking about. Sanketa, is afraid. Vidwan, a person advanced in spiritual knowledge. Kukalevara, of this body, which is full of stool and urine. Atyayat, because of loss. Yaha, anyone. Tasya, this. Yatnaha, endeavors. Shramaha, a waste of time and energy. Eva, certainly. Kevalam, only. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Materialists are generally very attached to their present bodily comforts, and to the bodily comforts they expect in the future. Therefore, they are always absorbed in thoughts of their wives, children, and wealth, and are afraid of giving up their bodies, which are full of stool and urine. If a person engaged in Krishna consciousness, however, is also afraid of giving up his body, what is the use of his having labored to study the Shastras? It was simply a waste of time. So that is the purport. So at this point, I'd like to offer my humble obeisances to my spiritual master. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine. So, this is a very short verse, but is actually packed with meaningful instruction for the devotees, because each and every one of us, male, female, tall, short, black, white, we're going to meet with death one day. And everyone sitting in this room, of course, is a devotee. So Srila Prabhupada, he has shot an arrow at us, so to speak, which is a warning. The warning is, is this not right? Okay. The warning is that what is the use of having studied so many Shastras if at the time of death a person is not ready to give up his body? So we are full of instructions. Right from the very beginning of Bhagavad Gita, we are learning about how the soul is passing from one body to another body, and then ultimately he reaches death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. This is one, some of our basic teachings that we learn. So it's one thing to learn the verse, it's another thing to put it into practice. So generally, as we have joined ISKCON as young men and women, we have a long time ahead of us to ponder upon the relevance of this type of shloka. So it's very sobering. Krishna consciousness, of course, is like a party. Every day there's singing, there's dancing, there's music. But this party is not a party of wine and drink and drugs and searching out for a sex partner. That's not the purpose that we come here to dance and chant the holy name of the Lord. We are interested only to get the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and to please Him. And the way that we do that is by pleasing the spiritual master. This is the universal formula for getting the attention of Krishna. If we can somehow or other please our spiritual master very much by our devotional service, Krishna is very, very pleased. The spiritual master is, in so many words, he's the proxy of Krishna. If you can please your spiritual master, you're pleasing Krishna. It's as simple as that. So, we should never lose sight of the ultimate goal. It's not a morbid meditation at all. It's a very joyful meditation. Because what does it mean to please Krishna and be successful in your devotional service? What does it mean? It means that you are fully liberated from the cycle of birth and death forever. And Krishna will take you back to the kingdom Vaikuntha, either Vaikuntha or Krishna Loka or whatever the devotee is desiring or meditating on. Krishna will fulfill that desire. Krishna is so pleased that his devotee has followed his instructions and has attained the goal of Krishna consciousness, to go home back to Godhead. Krishna is not at all interested to see that we are lingering here in this material world, changing bodies, 8,400,000 species of life. And if we want that, Krishna is willing to give it to us. There is plenty of room at the bottom of the ocean. There's plenty of room in the sky. There's plenty of room under the earth for all kinds of living entities, if that's where we want to go. There's plenty of room. Krishna has got plenty of time. He is time himself. So if you don't mind, if that's what you want, if you want to be the king of your little underground castle or under the sea castle, if you want to be the king of your castle, you can do that and Krishna will oblige. But there will be some pinpricks along the way in your castle. The pinpricks are jiva jivasya jivanam. So many other living entities are looking at you with big eyes. And those big eyes means I'm hungry. So one living entity is the meal for another living entity. That's a very unpleasant situation to be in. As human beings, we are more or less relieved of that. We're relieved of that situation. Generally speaking, other living entities do not go to human beings for food, as their food. Rather, they would become domesticated and receive food from the human beings. If you've ever noticed, if you've ever tried it, these dogs, stray dogs that run around Mayapur, they're minding their own business. But as soon as you throw them just a little morsel of food, they immediately run there, they take it, and they come back for more. And then for the rest of the day, they'll follow you around Mayapur. They become your indebted servant, because You are the food supplier. So this is what it's all about in the 8,400,000 of species of life. Where is the food coming from? And that is coming from the other species that you are living with. So it's a very risky environment. We should not waste this opportunity by coming down here to this material world again and risk being in those 8,400,000 species of life. It takes a very, very long time that if you should find yourself at the bottom of the ocean, it takes a long time to evolve through different species to come up to the higher level, then eventually come to a land-based life form and once again come to the human level. It takes a very, very, very long time indeed. So this statement here by Prabhupada is very, what is the word, prescient. Means it's very timely and very appropriate. At the time of the death, a materialist thinks, or maybe the others, is that the wrong? Sorry. Materialists are generally attached to their present bodily comforts and to the bodily comforts they expect in the future. Therefore, they are always absorbed in thoughts of their wives, their children, their wealth, and are afraid of giving up their bodies. So, if you go to funerals sometime, karmic funerals, they're very tearful affairs. Everybody's crying. Once I was invited to a funeral. It was a Hindu family, very big family, and they were pious but no real interest in Krishna consciousness. So everybody was crying. So I didn't know what to say. They asked me to say something. So I didn't know what to say. I just launched right out. I had my Bhagavad Gita. I launched straight into the Najayate Mriyate Va Kadachin Nayang Bhutva Bhavita Va Nabhuya, etc. And I explained to them that the soul is eternal, he's undying and he's immortal. There's nothing to lament here. And I said my speech and nobody really took any interest in it at all, because they were conditioned to think that when the grandfather dies, everybody should cry. That's what you're supposed to do. And you're supposed to lament. You don't think of the soul, the eternal soul, that has just been released from this dead and dying and decrepit body. You don't think of that. You're not supposed to think of that. That's horrible. You're supposed to think of angels flapping their wings and flying off to a better place. Or, as in one family I visited once in London, we had a life membership program there, so I went to visit this life membership family, and when I went in there, auntie has just, she's just died, so be careful, just be friendly, or you know, don't say anything too extravagant for them. But when I went inside the house, I saw that everybody was smiling, and I thought this was a contradiction. They asked me to be very reverent, but everybody is smiling, even though auntie has just died. So I said, why are you all smiling? And they said, oh, because auntie went to Swargaloka. So we're supremely heavy, extremely happy for her. So we're smiling. We're having a feast in her honor. So it apparently, auntie had been a very devout follower of Karmakanda process, and she was doing punya karmas all the time, especially in her later years. She spent her whole time doing punya karmas. So, but I didn't have the heart to tell them at that time. I told them later, but at that time I did not tell them that what Bhagavad Gita says. Bhagavad Gita says, Kshine punye macha lokam vishanti. This is horrible. You go all the way to the heavenly planets, you've done thousands of punya karmas, and now you get shoved back down to the material world again. It doesn't seem fair. It's not fair. But actually it is fair, because if you had been doing all those punya karmas all your life, you surely would have bumped into the Bhagavad Gita at some point, being a good Hindu, right? So, but Auntie had not done that, and she had ignored the instructions of Krishna. Instructions of Krishna mean that you have to surrender to me. Sarva dharman parityaja mamekam sharanam vajam aham tvam sarva papepyo moksha ishami ma suchaha. Krishna says, just surrender unto me, I will relieve you of all your sinful reactions. Now that's all that Auntie needed. She only needed that. She didn't need to spend all this money on punya karmas. So she more or less wasted her time, because after going to heavenly planets for some time, and a lot of time, generally millions of years in our, according to our level, then that living entity has to come back down to this mortal world again, because the planets of the devatas is not a permanent resting place. It's only temporary. So then you have to start all over again. And Prabhupada, he derided this process enormously in his books. And he likened it to the dunking stool. In the old days, in the medieval days, when they wanted to punish somebody, it was like something like waterboarding, only in an old-fashioned way. They put you in a chair, they tied you in a chair and dumped you in the lake and held you down there for a little while, and then you pulled you up again, and then you get to breathe a little bit, and then they dump you down again, and this goes on interminably until they get fed up with doing it, and maybe they just dump you in there and leave you there. That was the way they punished people in the old days. So Prabhupada said, this going to heavenly planets and coming back again is simply a waste of time. It's like the dunking stool. So if we want to see what is the proper way to die, there are a number of very good instances or examples of Vaishnavas leaving the body. Of course, the best one of all, not the best one of all, I would say second best, is Bhishma Dev. Bhishma Dev, as you remember, he rested on a bed of arrows given to him by Arjuna for how many days? It was 14 days or more, I think 14 days. And he was waiting for a particular conjunction of the moon, which was favorable for his going back to Godhead. And he also wanted to have discourse with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. And he was successful in his determination. Of course, there's another great example, is Parikshit Maharaj himself. Parikshit Maharaj, as you remember, had 15 days, 15 days before he was supposed to be bitten by the snake bird. So what did he do in those 15 days? Did he watch TV? Did he hang out with his parents, count up his money, and settle his affairs, close the bank account? No. He inquired from the great sages, what is the a proper duty of a person who is about to die? That was his question. And from that, from the answers to that question, we have got the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is a wonderful example of dying in Krishna consciousness. There are others, other examples in our own time. There was Gaura Govinda Goswami, who reputedly left his body while in a state of preaching here in Mayapur. So this is another wonderful example. I have personally witnessed two devotees leaving their body. Both of them are Prabhupada disciples. They left early. One, he left in total tranquility, and the other one also, he left in seclusion. He decided that that was what he wanted to do. He locked up his cabin and he lay down. He had some terminal disease, and within a few days he left his body. So these are examples also. Then perhaps in some of your knowledge, there was the Swami, I forget his name, the black Swami who died. Bhakti Tirtha Swami, such a wonderful devotee. I'd like to tell a story about him, not now, but he was extremely renounced person. Even during his college days, he had a reputation. So he was a natural devotee when he came to Krishna consciousness. He amazed everybody by his level of devotion, his level of renunciation. He was a simply amazing devotee. So if we simply look around us, we can see these examples. Srila Prabhupada is saying here that at the time of death, a materialist thinks of his wife and children. He is absorbed in thinking of how they will live and who will take care of them after he leaves. Consequently, he is never prepared to give up his body. Rather, he wants to continue to live in his body to serve society, family, friends, and so on. I think that's the different text. But the same message is there in text 14. Materialists are generally very attached to their present body comforts and their bodily comforts, and they expect in the future, and the comforts they expect in the future. Therefore, they are always absorbed in thoughts of their wives, children, and wealth, and afraid of giving up their bodies, which are full of stool and urine. If a person engaged in Krishna consciousness, however, is also afraid of giving up his body, what is the use of his having labored to study the Shastras? Well, I have a couple of Shastric references here. Let's see if I can quickly find it. There's a very nice verse, I'm sure you all know it. Krishna is, he's preaching to Arjun, Jatasya hi dhruvo mitu, dhruvo janma mritasya cha, Tasmada parihariyate natvam shochitam arhasi. In this verse, Krishna is telling Arjun that one who is born is destined to die, and having died, he is destined to accept another body. Therefore, in the unavoidable discharge of your duties, you should not lament. So therefore, in Krishna consciousness, we have so many duties. We're all busy, like all day, doing different things. At any time, we may leave the body. In fact, within recent months, we have seen a couple of devotees who literally were at their work, at their desk, and they collapsed on their desk, and that was the end of this particular lifetime. But they were in the midst of performing devotional service. Krishna says somewhere in one verse, I forget which one, he says, even if you lose your body at the time of death by serving me, you have nothing to fear. So we have a win-win situation here in Krishna consciousness. And it doesn't mean just in Mayapur, because devotees can take Krishna consciousness anywhere in the world. If you have your neck beads, your Bhagavad Gita, and your chanting beads, you can take Krishna consciousness everywhere. And it doesn't matter, living or dying, the devotee is always safe and protected by Krishna. There's another verse also I wanted to share with you, and I'll make this the last item. I noticed some people are yawning a little bit. Well, Krishna says, this is in the beginning of the seventh chapter, said, there are so many men in this world who have not strived for perfection. I forget the verse. But of those who have strived for perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. And of those who know me in truth, hardly one knows my personal form. So Krishna is saying, this is such a rare thing, this is such a rare opportunity to become Krishna conscious. And how much more rare it is that we have, or we have had in our midst, a great Mahabhagavata who was destined to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Srila Prabhupada has really fulfilled the title Jagat Guru. Jagat Guru, of course, we know there is a Jagat Guru in every village in India. But in our village of Mayapur, Srila Prabhupada, the actual Jagat Guru, he walked and spoke and sat down and gave instructions right here. So this is the most sacred place. Of course, I forgot Srila Prabhupada as also lying on a bed at the end of his manifest pastimes. There may be one or two of you here who were present there. Srila Prabhupada, he was totally emaciated. There was no flesh on his body. So when he was lying down on his bed, which was just some cushions, simple cushions, he was in excruciating agony, because that's how it is when you have no flesh on your bones. To lie down or to sit down or to move around is extremely, extremely painful. Yet Srila Prabhupada was bearing it all. He knew that his time was coming, that he was going to leave. But still, in this emaciated condition of extreme pain, he was still dictating Srimad Bhagavatam. Can you believe it? He was still dictating Srimad Bhagavatam up until the last day on that he was with us. So this is another great example of a devotee who remained fully Krishna conscious right up to the last second of the last breath that he was to breathe while in that body. So these are some things to meditate and ponder on when we perform our devotional service. And we should never forget that Kalosmi, Krishna says, I am time. Time can strike at any time. And we should always be ready. We should be always in a state of readiness to leave this body. So I think I'll finish there. And if there are any questions, if I can answer, I'll do my best. Hare Krishna. I see a hand going up that looks like Peter Nagari Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
When you speak about the fear of death, I'm not afraid of dying in the sense that I know that I'm going to go on after this death. So I'm not afraid in that sense of dying. But I am afraid of what I'm going to get in my next life. In other words, I'm not sure. I cannot be completely confident in myself that I'm not. Matter of fact, I know that I'm not perfect enough to go back home, back to Godhead. So this is the fear. So is that fear a good fear or a bad fear? Should a devotee have this kind of fear?
My answer is this, that it is a good fear because we should be always conscious of not slipping. We should be conscious of avoiding pitfalls. And those pitfalls can be seemingly invisible. We make a comment here, we make a comment there. We say things about people, and we should never do that. Devotees, I'm talking about. There are many ways that we can smear our devotional record with something which is unpalatable to Krishna. That could happen at any time, so we always have to be on guard. And it's like, I think it's like a running race. You know, there's a big rush to get to the tape first, so you just have to keep on going until you reach the finish, and you have to do your best right up until the last. I couldn't possibly. So there's a hand right in front.
Thank you, Prabhu. Very, very nice class. In regards to Gita Nagar, not worth it. Nagari Prabhu's question, if he is not confident that he is advanced enough or ready to go back to Godhead, still he should not be in anxiety because Bhagavad Gita explains to us that one who has engaged in devotional service may will take birth in the aristocratic family or in a family of learned Brahmins where they can immediately have the opportunity to take up their devotional service again. So there's no fear of falling into a demoniac lower species of life. You will be given immediate opportunity in your next life to continue your advancement.
Thank you, Prabhu Maharaj. I would also add to that that I know that Gita Nagari is a very literate person in Shastra. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, there are many places where Krishna says, those who know me at the time of death will not take birth again. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo vedi tatvataha chakva deham puna janma naiti mamiti sojuna. One who knows about my appearance and activities at the time of death, he will not take birth again. So I would say to Gita Nagari Prabhu, yeah, you know, just keep going. Do what you're doing. Then you have nothing to fear. So, there's a hand over in the corner. And while that question is coming up, I just want to apologize to the lazies. I just suddenly realized that I never invited you to speak the verse, you know, like we do this. Now it's ladies' time. I forgot.
Oh, you did, but nobody wanted to.
What?
You did ask them, but nobody wanted to.
Oh, really? I asked them? Okay. I'm off the hook.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Okay, if you can speak really loud, yeah. That would help.
Yeah. Yes, in the Shastra say, you think in Krishna in the end of life, when you dead, you go to the spiritual world.
Yes.
But what happened is some devotees thinking in the spiritual master, in the end of life, he go where?
Okay, would somebody like to... The spiritual master is in a long chain of spiritual masters. It's called Guru Parampara, okay? Guru Parampara is rock solid. So if you simply take shelter at the lotus feet of your spiritual master, you will go home back to Godhead. That is guaranteed. Srila, I've read, personally, Prabhupada has written, even if you are an initiated 50 generations from the Acharya, still the effect is as if it is direct. You are getting direct mercy of the Acharya through that Guru Parampara, including your own Guru. So all of the other benefits of going back to Godhead, they're also included in that. So nothing to worry. Are you raising your hand, Prabhu? Hare Krishna. Well, I'm getting older, I can't.
You said the second best. You said the second best example of that was Bhishma. So who's the best one? What's the best example?
Who's the best? Generally, Bhishma is held as the most. That's what I think. I don't know, Prabhuji.
I mean, you said that you personally don't think so. You said he was the second best in the religion.
Yeah, that, you know, I don't know. I think people from India, they have a preference for Bhishma Dev. He's very. It's also connected with astrological event. And this thing is followed by many, many devotees. So everybody has their own favorite, and it doesn't make any difference. Yes? Okay, Haribol. Yeah, I agree. There is a verse like that in Bhagavad Gita, and I perhaps Prabhuji knows the verse. Antakale chamame vasmaran mukva deliveram. Jasrangshaya. There you are. Okay, that's the gold standard right there. Okay. Hare Krishna. I think we'll finish here. Thank you for listening and for your association. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna.